Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I am speaking with Brady Grenier. He's the CEO of BioCorrex. Stock symbol is BICX, over the counter. Brady, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Brady, can you start off by telling our audience exactly what BioCorrex does?
Well, we're an addiction solutions company. And we have several products and services in for treating opioid and alcohol use disorders, as well as a future launch of a weight loss program as well. Underneath our company, we also have a R&D subsidiary, BioCorrex Pharmaceuticals, and we have some products in the pipeline that we're seeking FDA approval on, also for the treatment of substance use disorder, specifically opioids and alcohol use disorder.
So you have, right now, you have an existing treatment that is, it's on the market right now, right? You have with these treatment centers.
Yes, we have a program called the BioCorrex Recovery Program. It's been used for several years by independent treatment physicians or centers around the country. It's a program that includes the use of a naltrexone implant. It's a compounded pellet of naltrexone. That's a drug that blocks cravings and effects of alcohol and opioids, some effects. And it's written by patient prescription, and a doctor will then insert that very minor procedure into the patient's lower abdomen. And we also have our cognitive behavioral therapy program. That's our proprietary therapy program used to help those individuals with dealing with stressors and moving forward in their recovery, as well as a peer support program. So this comprehensive program that's used as a whole or in parts by independent treatment providers around the country. So we've been doing that for many years, and we learned a lot over the years with helping individuals with that program. And what we embarked on over the last two years or so is 2 or 3 years that we started this pharmaceutical subsidiary to seek specific FDA approval for the naltrexone implant component of our program, because the issue is payer support and wider acceptance by treating physicians around the country. So we're seeking FDA approval on the naltrexone implant. We just received earlier this year, a few months ago, a NIDA grant from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, which is a division of the NIH, the National Institute of Health, and we received nearly $5.7 million for 2 years to help get final FDA approval on that product.
Okay. So just, because just in case, maybe some investors may not be clear on this. So naltrexone, which is the implanted pill, that has FDA approval, and right now you're able to do these implants. But the reason you're looking to get the FDA approval for your treatment now is specifically just to be able to get that payment by the insurance carriers.
That's part of it, yes. Naltrexone has been approved. The first time it was approved was back in 1984 in a pill form for opioids. And so it's been approved 4 times total in different forms for different indications. So it's been around for a while. The safety profile of the drug is really good. People are very familiar with it. Under our program and others, around the world, it's compounded in this pellet form. It's surgically implanted, minor surgery procedure, and that really helps with patient compliance. But the underlying drug, naltrexone, is an FDA-approved substance, and therefore these substances can be compounded. So there's compounding guidelines that are state and federal guidelines that are used to compound medications in general, not just naltrexone implants. It's a very important part of treating patients, the whole compounding industry. So we're seeking the FDA approval. The challenge with compounding medications in general, any kinds, is payer support. A lot of payers will not pay for something that's compounded because it's a deviation from the FDA approved product. That doesn't mean they can't be used. It just makes it a struggle to get wider acceptance from physicians to use it, payers, and also the marketability of the product with compounding medications. You won't see, TV commercials airing about a compounded product. So there's different rules and regulations around, those compounded products.
Okay. And so the treatment right now, well, how does it compare, to, existing treatments that are, on the market in terms of cost and efficacy?
I think we're pretty unique in what we do and how we do it. In terms of efficacy, look, it all depends on what you're, there's so many things to compare it to. I mean, you have, a traditional 30-day rehab. I'm not sure if it's been updated, but I believe that a 30-day rehab used to be about $27,500 on average for 1 month. And, that is helpful for some people who need to get away from their environment, but it's only 1 month, and that's typically not long enough to get someone through their recovery. That's just kind of the beginning of recovery. With a program like ours that's being used now, we don't control the price on that. That's, the physicians are using our products and services in their own center, so they may be doing all sorts of other things with our program to enhance it. But from what we hear from the field, most doctors are charging, anywhere from 8,000, maybe 12,500, I believe, on the high end. Again, I can't guarantee that because I don't control what doctors do with their patients. But it seems to be kind of in that general range for a program, and that's not a price for an implant. So that's often a misconception as well. This is for an entire comprehensive program. It includes all the medical, I mean, the implant and the insertion of it, and the medical follow-up care, and the pre-physical, everything. Counseling sessions is typically 16 sessions that are done, the peer support for 6 months. So it's a comprehensive program, usually around 6 months for that price. So if you really want to compare it to some of the, that's how I would compare it to, let's say, a 1 month stay. And then there's other, you can compare it to other things as well. There's other medications that are used, methadone, Suboxone, and what have you. And those have a cost to them as well that you can compare these things to. So it really will vary depending on what the comparator is.
Okay, but the main so the advantage that your treatment has, what would be would you say is the key advantage you have over the existing treatments?
Again, it's going to depend on what we're comparing it to. The key advantage is that this is, for looking at outpatient, the advantage here is that you're giving someone a medication that will last oftentimes multiple months, which will then, with making a decision once or twice if they decide to get another one later. But the big issue with addiction treatment, for those who want to get on a naltrexone type of product, is the cravings. And oftentimes those cravings are more powerful than the desire to be in recovery. That's how powerful these addictions can be. So this medication will help with the cravings, and they made a decision that the first time. If the implant is lasting and then multiple months, now you're giving them, extended period of time where they don't need to make that decision and overcome those cravings every day. They can actually focus on their recovery, the therapy, the AA, the NA, whatever, church, God, all those things that are all important for many people. They can focus on that better without those intrusive cravings that they often say is really the most difficult thing to get over. So the advantage, I think, of our program is it allows someone to kind of go back to their environment after being detoxed and getting the naltrexone and have some sort of protection against some of those cravings so that they can really focus on their recovery in their environment. That's important.
So Brady, so because so basically so it's an implant, so no so essentially the patient doesn't have to what think about taking a pill or anything like that. It's they can't they
Yeah,
really
you're right.
can't do anything, right?
Right. It's in them. They made a decision. It's in there, and it dissolves and doesn't need to be removed. And if they need another one, that's between doctor and patient. Depends on how well they do. Are they more compliant with their other forms of therapy? It's a case by case basis. There's no like you're getting this implant and you're cured. That's dangerous to even say that. It really is helping. It's a tool that's going to help someone do all the other things that are even more important. And the most important stuff is oftentimes the behavioral side. You have to change behaviors. If you don't change the behavior, the medication's not, is going to be a band-aid.
Okay, and so you're generating revenues right now. What's the business model? How does this work right now?
Well, physician, if a treatment center wants to use all our portions of our program, they you know, they're paying us for the rights to access those products and services or use them, depending on which, you know, what suite of services are using what we have, you know, in their options. So we don't, you know, we're not collecting or billing patients or insurances or anything. It's strictly, from our perspective, you know, it's a cash pay business model, which is a challenge in this healthcare arena of addiction treatment. So it's really tough to do with cash pay, because oftentimes people seeking treatment and their family members have exhausted most of their resources in trying all these other things over the years. They're spent.
Okay. So what are you generating in terms of revenues with the current model?
On the top of my head, I don't have those, but it's 7 million. I mean, go back and look at our filings. Our annual just came out. So I don't want to guess. I think it was a few hundred thousand. We do a lot of treatment of individuals pro bono. Oftentimes we're doing a lot of that. And the reason we do that is we want to be good corporate citizens. But we also, you know, selfishly, we do get people up, you know, not, you know, good market intelligence, and it helps us to adapt and evolve our program, and also helps us, you know, it's with education as we lead up to an FDA approval of that product. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, we tout as the revenue from this program. It's because it was, you know, because of the reasons I mentioned, it's a cash pay business. So,
okay,
so that makes it tough.
So if this was covered, covered by insurance and all that, what kind of revenues do you think you can generate?
Well, I mean, you asked me for projections that I probably can't put out there in this forum. All I can say is that the other product that's on the market, that's naltrexone, that's being widely used in shot form. I believe they're doing between 250 to 280, maybe 300 million over the last few years, are projected to do this year. And they are, you know, they have a lot of room to grow, in my opinion, because of the whole shifting of the landscape of using medications to treat addiction. So, you know, if we were to be somewhat conservative and say we could get, you know, capture 10% of that market share, you know, once we're approved, then you can look at, you know, maybe we're producing, you know, $20-30 million in revenue. That doesn't seem far fetched to me. Of course, and that's for a small company like ourselves, that's pretty significant. You know, we're not big pharma.
Okay. Now, so the injectable version of naltrexone, this is, it's also done in these kind of treatment centers. That's just another system that they're using with the injections.
Well, it's a shot for naltrexone. Naltrexone, yeah, and it comes in oral form and a shot form as well. So there's different, and there's other medications used for addiction, like I mentioned earlier, methadone, suboxone, and those come in different forms. So those, there's, it's all about having patient options. They all are some are similar, more similar to each other. Some are very, very different, but they all have a purpose. Because each individual addiction is a spectrum disorder. It's not like you have addiction and you have that, and this one medication is going to fix you across the board. Every situation is going to be different, and between doctor and patient, they can determine which of the medications, in what routes of administration and form, is better for that patient situation.
Okay, so what's the? Can you kind of explain, like, what is the path towards? You know, towards getting the FDA approval right now?
Yeah, well, we met with the FDA in January 2018. And really, you know, from that meeting, we able to get guidance of what the route is, which is a 505B2 pathway, which is considered an abbreviated route. And I just, you know, we're not having to go through those typical, you hear phase one, phase two, phase three studies. Yeah, it's an abbreviated route. So we still have to do studies. But it's limited, and that process, the 505B2 process in itself, on average, is a 2 to 3 year process. Now that, so we hope that we fall in that general, you know, average timeline. We'll have more clarity on that as some of the studies get underway. we just received the grant from the government, and the announcement was in January. We got the funding in February, so it's pretty, you know, really new that we just received this grant funding. And since then, we've been getting the project started, and that entails a lot of scheduling of things, and the manufacturing process is underway. So everything's starting to move forward, but I don't have that exact, you know, not something specific that I can project on an approval date just yet. We have to get a little bit further down the track before I can maybe put out something a little bit more narrower time period.
Okay, so you've received the grant of what I think you said just under $6 million from the government to get this.
We were awarded just under 5.7. I think it's like 2.8 for year one, with another 2.8 something for year two. So, you know, the money, it's granted, it's awarded. We draw down from that. It's not like they give us a check and it's in our bank account. It's, you know, we draw down as we have invoices or what have you, or contracts with the different service providers that we're using along the way, which is, you know, it covers, you know, we requested enough to cover the entire project. So we were hoping that the amount that we were awarded does cover the entire project. I mean, there's some bumps along the way and deviations, and, you know, we do have other, you know, sources of capital that we have in a recent raise that we do have. We're just trying to not, you know, hopefully we can get through the approval process of this product without having to touch much, if anything, of other resources.
Okay. And I think you just announced recently, you actually did a raise, which was, you know, at a premium to the market. But it had like a royalty structure in there. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we about a month ago, I guess we raised $6 million at a premium to market. At the time, I think we were at four something a share, and we raised it at $15 a share, and it comes with a future royalty on our weight loss program, which is we just announced also just recently that we're planning to launch October 1st. And this is a program that's similar to the addiction program I mentioned earlier that has all these components, but it's going to be, it's similar but different in many ways on the program surrounding it and the actual medication that's implanted as well. It's going to use naltrexone as well, but we're customizing a product that's supposed to be, you know, more suitable for this type of patient population. So all of those things are on the way now, and we have a projected launch of October 1st. And, you know, and that's something that we're very excited about, because it's different. This is a different market. The weight loss market in general is about a $65 billion market. The addiction market is about $36 billion. So, you know, total that up, we're, you know, between all of our products and programs, we're playing in a $100 billion market space that we're targeting.
Okay. Now this, so the weight loss product, is this, are you going to start off kind of in the same system where it's a private pay?
Yeah, well, that's, like I said, this is a different patient. You know, people spend money out of pocket for weight loss. It's a, you know, there's a vanity aspect to it. You know, it's obviously healthy. It's healthy as well to lose weight, but people want to look better. You're talking about a different motivation from individuals.
That's interesting.
than someone who's, you know, getting treated for addiction. You know, a lot of, you know, problem with addiction treatment is, you know, oftentimes, you know, they have windows of when they want help. It's a small window sometimes. You have to hit them at that right time when they want help, get them in, and then you have to get over the cost barrier. And like I mentioned earlier, these, you know, these individuals have exhausted their funds. So you need more government support on addiction treatment in general. You really, to get over the barrier. When it comes to this market, you know, this is a different attitude. It's a different patient altogether. They're looking for ways to lose weight and to cheat any way they can, so to speak, on how to get there. And this program that we developed is, we did pilot studies on it, and people lost weight. They reported that their cravings for food had diminished greatly, and they just ate less because they craved food less. And that's as simple as you can put it. If you eat less, you lose weight. And if you crave food less, then typically you probably won't eat as much.
Okay. And what is going to be the cost of this program that's going to start in October?
That hasn't been finalized yet, so I can't put anything specific out there. We're doing some market analysis on where that price will end up. So we may have to test a few things when we first get started with it, but we have some ideas, but nothing that I can put out there just yet.
Okay.
I mean, it's a cash pay business. You have to make it. We have to make that still affordable for a cash pay model.
Okay. But so what, so in terms of the royalties, what's the what is what are the numbers on that? How is it, maybe you can talk about how this private placement was
Well,
priced.
the investors, again, I'm not looking in front of me exactly. I think they're going to receive $75 per program sold. Again, it's a program because it incorporates behavioral aspects of everything as well. And then it will drop down to $50 per sale up to a certain time point of. So I think the first 3 years is 75, and it'll drop down to 50 for the remaining 12. I believe that's the how it's structured, and in our opinion, again, without you knowing what the price of our program is going to be, you can't really. It's hard for anyone to say, well, that's a huge part of huge royalty or a small royalty, right? We know it. We know it's a fair royalty based on what we have, what we feel the price of the product will be. But again, we haven't finalized that yet. There may be options. There may be different options for the program as well, like we do with our current program. So
Okay.
that's all I can really say about that.
Okay. Now, so the investors that I think that we said that they paid $15 a share, which is was a th almost three times the price of the stock. What so they must have some significant faith in the product, and I guess experience in the industry, to set up this type of deal. Can you kind of talk about their background, or what gave them this type of confidence?
Well, we all of them, we've been very fortunate with a lot of high net worth individuals that have been close to our company over the years that believe in not only the products but also management. They know us well. They've been close to us over years. So they believe in the product and management. That's very important. You can have great products and bad management, or great management and bad products. So they believe in both of those, and we've been fortunate, and it's come from various some of the best investors we've had have been clients themselves per se, and that always goes a long way, so they believe in the future of this company. These aren't short term, as evident by this deal. They're looking at a 15-year royalty. These aren't people that are looking to flip, to just flip a stock in a year. These are very strategic, very senior, experienced investors, and I think who they are may be out there in the public domain. I'm not sure off the top of my head what was filed or not, but or what was in the actual investor agreements. So I don't want to say any names at the moment. But if they're out there in the public, it's easy for us. Potential shareholders to find that information.
Okay, so I guess they must have done enough due diligence or market research to assume that you're gonna, they're gonna, get royalties on, I'm assuming, hundreds of thousands of these treatments, so they can get that $75 plus.
Well, I would based on these individuals and their sophistication, I would imagine that they felt very comfortable enough with product and management that they're going to do well with their investment.
Okay. What and this so this so the weight loss treatment, you're not going to seek any kind of FDA approval for that, right?
Well, I didn't say that. That's just not something that is in the pipeline for the plans. At least we haven't verbalized that. Anything can happen. When we first got involved with the company, myself 6 years ago, we weren't seeking FDA approval on the naltrexone implant, and here we are now doing that. So, never say never. It's just not something that we're looking at for this launch of the program. Again, for those reasons I mentioned earlier, this is a different industry than the substance use disorder industry.
Okay. So what other products do you have in the pipeline right now that you could talk about?
Well, other than the implant going for FDA approval and the weight loss program that we'll be launching and the behavioral program that I detailed earlier, we do have some IP around injectable technology that's in the pipeline to create an injectable naltrexone. We had started that project some years ago. We put the implant in front of that. So we still have that in the pipeline, and that's going to require resources to go do product development on. So it's not in right now. Our main objective is to get that implant approved. But we also have another, we have an LOI in place with a new molecule called VDM that is a synthetic opioid antagonist. It was recently patented in 2017. And we have an LOI in place with the inventor to acquire up to 49% ownership of that patent. And so we have that LOI in place. We have the option to acquire that, and we get to make a decision after we do some validation studies. So we're getting ready to start validation studies on that product. And that's a product for overdose reversal. You know, obviously, overdose is a big problem. Issues we're seeing with, you're hearing about in the field with overdose reversal is that naloxone or Narcan or the great drug, oftentimes individuals need more than one dose because of the big fentanyl issue that we have now. Most of these overdoses have fentanyl involved in it, which is a stronger opioid than heroin. So it's a big, big problem. So we're looking at better, more efficient solutions for overdose reversal. And this molecule may be the one. It's a newer project that we're excited to get started, but it's still early, and we're going through some validation studies that we want to do here in the next few months to validate some of the claims that are made in the patent by the inventor. So we just want to, we want to prove to ourselves what the patent says is actually true. And if so, it can be a really, really, really big opportunity for our company on multiple levels with new indications, new deliveries of this drug, in many forms. It's a whole different, that's a whole different ball game. But again, not to, I want to be a realist. We still have to get through some, validating of these things. But it can be very exciting. We'll see.
Okay. Brady, what's, assuming everything goes right, with the FDA approvals and all that, what's your vision for the company over the next 2-3 years? Like, what is BioCorex going to look like?
Well, I hope we have an FDA approval in that time frame. Hopefully we've been on the NASDAQ quite some time, which will allow us to have by then have made some strategic partnerships for possible acquisitions, mergers, or what have you in the space and other things that we. That we have the luxury of knowing about since we're in the trenches, as I mentioned earlier, with our program, getting that market intelligence, come across a lot of things. So I'd hope by then that our weight loss program has had a successful launch and we're financially independent, so to speak, on in that regard and able to start, really, expanding into other areas. So that's kind of what I will see. But first things first, when you get this weight loss program launched here in the next, this year, and start generating revenue there and really start hitting milestones on the FDA approval front, or pathway, we have to, continue to move forward and progress to those different stages that we need to go to show that progress. And hopefully we get some really outstanding information from this new molecule I just mentioned, and that just leads into a whole nother arena.
Okay. Brady, my final question is, in your opinion, what are the key value drivers, investors should take into account, when considering your stock today?
Well, I think we didn't even talk much about our team. I mean, management's one thing, but we've also brought, in some of the experts in the fields that we play in are a part of our company. I should tell someone something that they see what we're doing and believe what we're doing, and they've been, we've attracted them. So we've been very fortunate in bringing talent on board in the space that lends to our credibility. We were able to get a grant from the government that leads to our credibility. We were able to raise $6 million at a premium to market for yet-to-be-launched product from sophisticated investors. We've secured more money, nearly as much money this first 3 or 4 months over the last 3 or 4 months, let's say, we've secured more money in terms of grant and investment dollars, and that's nearly our market cap. And behind that, we have these products and services that are really going to make an impact, we feel, on this crisis and also on weight loss. So I think there's a lot of value to our company. I feel that we're in the best position that we've been as a company financially, of course, with what I just mentioned, but also just fundamentally with all of the products and services and things that we have going on right now, where I think we're worthy of being, being looked at seriously.
And you mentioned the, you plan to be on NASDAQ. What is actually the your plan right now for doing an uplisting?
Well, we did some of those things. We announced last year, I believe, that we were seeking that and applied to the NASDAQ. And, it's been a slow-moving process, but we're checking the boxes off as we go. We've, some of the things that we did earlier this year, that's part of the requirements, is we have to get our stock price at a certain level, and we have to do that through a reverse that we did earlier in the year, in January. We've added independent board members to the team. These are all out there in our PRs on our website, if you want to read up on who these individuals are. So we brought in independent board members. So we raised this capital. So we're moving through that process, and we still have some other things to do, and we want to make sure the market conditions are right whenever we do that. But we are, if you look back at the things we said we were going to do in that regard, we've been moving that direction. So we're moving the right direction on the NASDAQ uplisting. Hopefully we can get that done. Late summer, I believe we said earlier, it depends. Depends on many things coming into place at the right time. But it's definitely a goal of ours to do that. Being on the OTC, exchange has its challenges, and we would like to be able to grow up as most companies do and be on a more senior exchange and take advantage of being, having better visibility on an exchange like that. I think we could get, more people interested and excited about our company if we had, proper coverage and it was open to more investors to be able to get involved.
Okay. So late summer of this year is kind of the idea.
That's kind of what we are, our desire. I'm always careful when I put these dates out there because we keep some things you can't control.
Okay, great. Well, it's a good plan. And on that note, Brady, I want to thank you, and we look forward to hearing more from BioCorix in the months ahead.
All right, sounds good.